What's going on, everybody? Welcome to a, what is this, week 12, Mason, of the college football season coming up? Something like that, man. Yeah, it's sadly coming to an end. This coming up week of football is the worst weekend of football of the year because 90% of the teams in the SEC take their annual cupcake games along with a lot of other teams in various conferences. Most of the Big Ten games are a joke until rivalry weekend the next week anyway. So, you know, this is what we get. So lots of news happening. So we'll be spending a lot of time on that. But give me some thoughts on what transpired this past Saturday.
So this week was supposed to set up as a really great week, or this previous week was. You had a lot of good games. And unfortunately, I felt like every single one of them kind of was a letdown, except for maybe two of them. Washington, Utah was a good game. USC, Oregon was kind of good, but like Georgia, Ole Miss, blowout. Tennessee, Missouri, blowout. Alabama, Kentucky, blowout. Like there's just blowouts all over the board.
Yeah, and I guess maybe in some ways that's possibly a good thing. You know, the good teams ended up winning, the bad teams ended up losing. So I guess, you know, we kind of have a little bit of the cream rising to the top, but give me, obviously I need to have your thoughts. Obviously I know I brought it up and I'm sure other people brought it up, but you know, possible trap game for Bama after beating LSU the week before, going to Kentucky an 11 a.m. kickoff, and they kind of busted the door down and ended it pretty early.
Yeah, honestly, I was super impressed because I thought Alabama was going to win, but I was expecting a bit of a slow start, I'll say, just because like you're coming off such a high off of beating Tennessee and then LSU, basically two revenge games, and two games where you actually played really well, and you're coming into Kentucky, a team that you're supposed to beat, and it was a trap game, just being honest. So I expected a slow start, but they came out and put up 21-0 like at the snap of a finger. I mean, look, Milroe is playing out of his mind right now. I mean, he had six touchdowns, could have had more. I don't even think he played the entire fourth quarter. His development has been, I'll say, probably one of the most surprising things that's happened so far this season for Alabama. He's just playing out of his mind. He's reading defenses very well, but with his development, you have to give all of the credit to Tommy Rees because the game plan that he's putting out right now is tailor-made for Milroe. They're running all of these flood packages with their wide receivers. Basically, everybody's going to one side of the field, so he's not having to scan the field. He's just seeing his area and finding the open guy, and he's hitting them. And then also he has a quick trigger right now in the run game too. If his first option is not there, then he's taking off and he's getting chunk plays right now, scoring touchdowns on the ground with his legs. They are incorporating the design quarterback run a lot more. And so you got to give a lot of credit to Tommy Rees, man. I was a little skeptical coming in to the season of him because he wasn't he hadn't proven himself a ton at Notre Dame, but dude, he's paying off right now, and it's been really impressive to see. And they're playing amazing right now.
It's definitely been different since the bye week for sure. So they for sure figured some things out and changed some stuff up since the bye week. So that was the Bama game. Give me your thoughts on, to me, the nice surprise of Missouri just trashing Tennessee this past weekend. Give me some of your thoughts on that, man.
So I've been expecting Tennessee to kind of come out at some point and kind of show some life this year. I expected it this week against Missouri, and I was so let down, dude. I mean, they looked like a corpse out there, but they're just not good right now. They're a completely different team than they were last year. They're not throwing the ball as well as they were. But with that, you have to give so much credit to Missouri and how they're playing right now. Their running back, the guy that came from the D2, which is all you heard about during the game, he is playing out of his mind as well. So they've got a good thing going right now at Missouri. Brady Cook's playing well. They have the passing game going. It was nice to see, especially after last week when Georgia completely shut down Luther Burden. And then Missouri comes out and they did what they did against Tennessee and put up what it was like 35 points.
36, yeah.
Sheesh, man. Yeah, you got to give all types of credit to Missouri because I've said this 100 times. I was very down on them coming into the season, but they've proven me wrong, man, and it's been a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, if anything, that would be one of your bad takes in the preseason was Missouri. I think you maybe gave them a total of like 15 seconds on your preview.
Yeah.
Something like that. Much. So, yeah, I mean, here's the thing when it comes to Tennessee. I mean, obviously, Missouri is super impressive. They're one of the best teams in the nation. Really, really solid. They have played probably Georgia better. I mean, Auburn probably beat them, had a closer game, but Missouri was just right there. They just made one or two mistakes at the end that made the game be more out of reach than it actually was. But here's what I'll say about Tennessee. Obviously, we've been waiting for the offense to finally pop, and it just hasn't. Milton has just not been able to figure it out. Can't consistently throw the football, which was what the problem was when he lost the job to Hendon Hooker a couple years ago and why he hadn't been playing. And I mean, he had me fooled and Tennessee had me fooled in the offseason after the Clemson game, thinking that he's improved a lot, and he just hasn't. Can't consistently throw the football. They can't consistently score points. And to me, it really just shows, hey, we're in November. It really seems like that defense is just wearing down with how much they have had to rely on them. And the defense has been really good this year, but I don't think it should have ever been the thing that held the team together. And that's what it's been. And obviously they just broke. And now they, and this was at the time, this was obviously before Georgia and Ole Miss, before Ole Miss wrapped up the SEC East, they still had something to play for. They still could have, you know, if Ole Miss actually had a pulse after the first quarter and a half, you know, they could have potentially been playing for the SEC East with the chance to go to Atlanta this coming up week against Georgia, and they laid an absolute egg and a dud. And I don't know if it's going to get any better when they play Georgia this week at home. Maybe you'll play a little bit better at home, but it definitely seems like the defense is just wearing down at this point, getting towards the end of the season with how much they've had to be on the field and how much they've been relied upon by the whole team, really.
You think they've been the biggest letdown of the season, team-wise? I mean, to me, it probably comes
the
down to
the offense, for sure. Clemson. Offensively, for sure. Defensively, I've been really surprised by them. When we're talking team-wide, I mean, Clemson's got to be up there. Kentucky, I think, is up there. Who else? I mean, maybe UCLA could be up there, too. I kind of thought a little bit higher than UCLA out there, out west. When it comes to how much hype there was maybe in the preseason, USC is obviously up there, but I think at least I knew going into the season that they would be what they are right now.
But I think it comes down to Tennessee and Clemson, honestly, because I feel like those two probably had the best chance to actually win their conference preseason, just hype-wise. And obviously neither one of them are even close to doing that.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. So let's go ahead and move on to next game. I mean, this one kind of hurt me, Mason, and maybe you feel really good about it, even though they're not your hometown team anymore. The Gus Malzahns destroyed Oklahoma State, man, 45-3. Like, is this the same Oklahoma State team that we've been watching the like past month and a half? Like, no, what the heck happened in Orlando?
All this comes down to is this is the exact same Gus Malzahn that we will always get. I guarantee you, I'm calling it now. I don't even know who they're playing this week, but they're gonna lose. They could be playing a school of the blind and they're gonna lose. There's no shot. This is what Gus always does. He wins a crazy game, then he loses a really bad game. But
yeah, they go to Lubbock and play Texas Tech this week.
Yeah, they're gonna lose.
They're losing that one.
We're good. Don't even have to worry about that one.
Oh man, I was pretty sad when I saw that on the scoreboard.
Yeah, me too, because I was feeling really good about where Oklahoma State was. And I think at this point they dropped to third now in the Big 12. So it's
they're in like in the big bowl, Texas and Oklahoma tiebreakers right now in the Big 12. Yeah, that was really ugly and unfortunate. Michigan and Penn State, man. Let's go ahead and get it out the way. This was the big game that everybody was looking forward to this coming up week. Michigan just ran the ball from like midway second quarter on. Not a single, they threw one pass, which then didn't count statistically because it was a defensive pass interference call on the play. So no official passes from like midway second quarter on, and they won 24-15. And it didn't even feel like it was close.
Yeah, McCarthy threw the ball 8 times total the entire game. That's disgusting. I mean, if you can do it and they successfully did it, then go for it. I mean, they obviously knew that they could come in and they didn't have to rely on McCarthy to get the win. And hey, it worked out for them. And we're just back in the same circle with James Franklin. He's not going to win top 10 matchups. It's never happening. He's never going to do it. Penn State's always going to be a letdown. But yeah, and I mean, this type of game for Michigan coming off the Harbaugh news, I thought it was pretty impressive. But their ability to run the ball, man, it's going to be tough for teams to stop. And it's not like J.J. McCarthy's a bad quarterback. I think he's one of the better quarterbacks in the nation. So at the same time, they still have that weapon. But for them to be able to rely on their run game like they do, they're going to be tough to beat down the road.
Yeah, I mean, like, here's the thing with Michigan that you've seen in the past. They just care, like, whenever it's these big games like this, they just care about winning. They don't care about stats or anything like that. So it's like, oh, hey, you have a horrible offense on the other side against our great defense. Dude, we're not giving any risk and letting this thing go. We'll just ram it down your throat, and you're not going to score on us anyways. So I know there was like a lot of chatter. Like, usually whenever there's like games like this, Mason, there's usually chatter from fans on Twitter or on Facebook or Reddit or wherever you talk football or read football stuff from people on message boards of like, oh, Michigan can't pass the ball. When it's like a game like this, or Auburn can't pass the ball, or Georgia, you know, pick a team when it's a performance like this. It's like, dude, like, they've proven the whole year that McCarthy can pass the ball. They have really good receivers and they can do whatever they want. They weren't going to put this freaking game at risk on the road without their head coach when they didn't even need to. Like, they were able to score 24 points with no passing game on a good defense too. Like, Penn State's defense is good and they scored 24 by just running the football. I don't know. Like, obviously that's not going to be the game plan when they play Ohio State. And if it is and they win, I'll be even more impressed.
Yeah.
But like, still, man, like, that's a great defense. And you just basically did whatever you wanted to, which is run the ball, and you won. And you know that, hey, if we needed McCarthy, if something happened and we needed him, they could have done it, man. So anybody kind of crapping on it and being, oh, I don't know, they can't pass the ball. Like, no, like, you just don't know what you were watching. This is one of the best teams in the country for sure, hands down.
Like you said, they've been doing it all season. Like, they completely trust McCarthy 100% in this offense to get stuff done when he needs to. But if he doesn't need to, they don't put him in the situation to just make stuff happen because they know they can get it done on the ground. And that's what you've been seeing all season. Also, Blake Corum's been awesome. They still have Edwards backing him up too, and he's been playing really well. But they're just a dominant team right now, man. So, like, I'm super excited to watch the Ohio State game because Ohio State does have a good defense right now. It's going to be a fun one.
So let's move on to some of the other good games of the weekend. Utah-Washington was pretty close most of the way. Washington scored 11 points in the second half to win. Give me your thoughts. You know, we've been kind of talking about maybe Washington kind of being on the downward trend since the Oregon game. Do you still kind of feel that way? I mean, they had to Oregon State this weekend. Close game against Utah. Some other close games previously, too. What's kind of your feeling on Washington at this point?
Yeah. Man, I just really don't know with them. Like, hey, Utah's a good team, right? So, like, that's a good win. But I just feel like there's still meat left on the bone with Washington right now, especially after the Oregon win. Like, it just feels like I'm expecting more out of them, and I'm just not getting it. But they're still putting up solid numbers on offense. Their defense is still whatever you want to say about them. But it just,
I mean, they're winning games.
Yeah, they're just winning games. But it just, at the same time, it's like, can you give me a little bit more? That sounds a little selfish of me to want you to beat Utah by more than 7 points, but just a little bit more. I don't know what it is. I can't quite pinpoint it with them right now, but just a little bit more from them.
Yeah, we'll definitely have to see it this week when they play Oregon State in Corvallis. Florida State struggles with Miami, man. I know you're not high and have never been high on the Seminoles, even in the offseason, so go ahead and give it to me.
Florida State had me after week one. That was it. Okay, because they demolished LSU. But since then, they played it. They probably should have lost to Clemson. They probably should have lost to Boston College. They probably should have lost this game. Like, there's so many of these games for them right now where it's just like they do so many things wrong and have so many opportunities to lose the game, and it just doesn't happen, man. Like, when I watch them, I don't necessarily feel like they're one of the top four teams in the nation right now. Like, I feel like they're a product of a bad conference. I feel like if you gave them a little bit of a tougher schedule, they would probably have a loss or two. But at the same time, like, LSU's a good win. Clemson's a good win. Duke, whatever you want to say about Duke. Like, I don't know, man. It's just like every time I watch them, I don't feel like I'm watching a top four team in the nation. Like, I think if and when they make the playoffs, whoever they play that first round is probably going to lay the smack on them. And it's going to be we're going to get the whole, oh, well, we always have a bad loss in the first round of the playoffs and blah, 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 blah. This was just a team that probably should have been in it. And it's just going to be the same stuff. And it's just going to lay on Florida State this year. That's kind of how I feel.
So who do you feel better about, Florida State or Washington?
I feel better about Washington.
Okay.
Because, I mean, honestly, like, that one Oregon win, it to me is like 10 times better than whatever Florida State has put up.
Okay. Good to know. Let's see. You know, Texas almost lost to TCU. They gave up 20 points in the fourth quarter, but still won. They did lose their leading rusher for the year with a torn ACL, so that's big news there for Texas. Texas, I think, has been kind of on the same trajectory as Washington since their big win against Alabama. Just seems to kind of, they just, this is more so to me on the offensive end of they just still haven't been able to fully click, and they have all the pieces there, which is super frustrating as a fan. I'm sure if you're a fan of Texas, it's super frustrating. I mean, you have A.D. Mitchell and Xavier Worthy and Quinn Ewers and a decent offensive line, have had a decent running game with Brooks, and you just still are struggling with these middle-of-the-road Big 12 teams. Kansas State, TCU, and, I mean, I don't want to say it's not going to get any easier because on paper it's easier, but, I mean, at this point you just really can't trust Texas to fully take care of business at this point, so I don't know what to think of him, man. I mean, I obviously picked him preseason in my national championship game. I'm cooling off, obviously, on that pick right now. Man, you just never know what you're going to get with them, especially since at this point in the season, late in the season, they still just haven't clicked offensively for whatever reason.
Yeah. I'm so frustrated with them right now, dude. And I'll get into more of my frustrations when we get to our polls. This is like what, back-to-back weeks that they've blown a 20-point lead in the fourth quarter, something like that. Like, I don't know. I'll get into that later.
Okay. Is there any other games you kind of want to bring up before we move on? How about this, Mason? I didn't have this on the docket, but obviously Jaden for Heisman, right?
Look. I think Jaden's best thing right now going for him is that you have RG3, whose Baylor team had three losses, and he still won the Heisman. You had Lamar, the year that he won, three losses, also still won the Heisman. And I think there was one more.
Tim Tebow.
Tebow did it also. I think Manziel had two losses. But still, I mean, two losses. I think that's what he's got going for him. He's definitely got the best numbers in the nation. and he is playing like the best quarterback and player in the nation right now. So I think the Heisman's in.
So Jaden for Heisman. Can I hear it? Just say it.
I'm not ready to go there yet.
Who else would it be?
That's the thing, man. Like, all right. So you remember last year we were sitting here having this huge discussion and I was all in on CJ Stroud winning it, but he had to go out and win it. You know what I mean? Like,
and he did it.
Exactly. And he didn't do it. Like, it just felt like, it feels like it's the same thing this year where I feel like there's a flaw in everybody in the top like four right now that you like, I don't necessarily feel like anybody right now should be set in stone Heisman, which I feel like is really weird because I feel like normally there's like a guy that's head and shoulders above everybody, which
it's Jaden Daniels. On the
field is Jaden Daniels, but also you still have those three losses that are.
All right, listen. What I mean? Get out of here with the three losses. If you want to really get to the three losses, all three of those losses at the time right now when we look at rankings are to top 12 teams. All of them on the road. I'm going to say that. And you know what? It's not his fault the defense sucks, okay? Yeah. He's the best player in the country, hands down. Bo Nix has the best Heisman odds right now, and he's like almost 900 total yards behind Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
I mean, let's just be – and along with looking at strength of schedule too, we can compare those numbers too. We might get into more Heisman talk next year, but Jaden Daniels for Heisman, it's locked up, guys. Just put it to bed.
That's the thing. It just feels like everybody else doesn't have much of an argument, if we're being honest. Like, I guess Bo Nix, Michael Penix.
Bo Nix is maybe the only one that has an argument. Michael Penix doesn't because he's had some pretty crappy performances. So, he's not consistently great.
When do we start getting the Jalen Milrow in the conversation? When does that happen?
He needs to have a full season before I'm okay with it. He's had three good games.
Can we at least get him in the conversation? Like four or five? Can he enter that area? You don't think he can
maybe like four? Like maybe like seven.
Seven
or six.
I don't have the odds pulled up, so I don't even know where he's at. But for some reason I feel like he's at like six.
I know, but I derailed the conversation here without warning, but that's last week. Any last kind of I don't think we need any final words. Let's move on. Let's get out of here. We're done with that. Next on the docket, obviously there's been a lot of news, Mason, around college football. And a lot of that news has to do with coaches getting fired. Which is a great time of the year for everybody that loves the coaching carousel and loves to track flights and come up with all of the conspiracy theories on what is going on in coaching searches every single November, December. It's a great time. I remember being fully into it when LSU was hiring Brian Kelly, and it was a wild ride, let me tell you. And it was probably even wilder whenever we hired Ed Ogeron, unfortunately. So, Jimbo Fisher, we kind of called it. I don't know if we called the week. I don't think we called the week correctly, but we did kind of call Jimbo Fisher getting fired mid-year. And kind of strangely enough, it happened after they scored 45 points against Mississippi State. So hat off to the Texas A&M admin for being like, no, we're done with them and just firing them anyways and not having results on the field actually matter once they've made their decision. Thoughts on the finally official, as we've all been waiting for like the past year and a half, firing of Jimbo Fisher.
Jimbo. I don't know where to start with him, man.
76 million. That's where we can start.
Yeah. That's crazy. What was it? The highest before that was like 20 million. And it was, I think it was Gus.
Yeah.
So I hated him so much. Because of how annoying he was and all the shots that he tried to take at Nick Saban and all of his bullcrap that he always pulled. So hating on Jimbo was one of my favorite things that we do on our podcast. The Texas 8-4 jokes were always great. The hating on Jimbo, never ever getting over the hump jokes were always great. I always had a blast. So I think I'm at the point where I'm actually going to miss him a little bit. Like, I hope he kind of bounces back somewhere else so we can continue to make fun of him. But it's been a wild ride. So I do think that I am going to miss him. I will say it is very Texas A&M and Mississippi State of them to both fire their head coach after the same exact game. I don't think I've ever seen that. So that was a little surprising. But yeah, Jimbo, I expect you to be an analyst for Alabama here in the next couple of weeks. We'll see what happens.
Listen, I think the best possible solution for your disappointment here, Mason, is for Lane Kiffin to get hired at A&M because, you know, of how much he likes to take shots and all that stuff, and we can continue the hatred of A&M. Though that would then kind of make me a little disappointed because I have to hate on the Lane train because,
look,
I think he's great. But listen,
that would make me very happy because then I don't have to hear Lane replacing Nick Saban when he retires. Because I definitely don't want that. So, Lane, if you want to go to Texas A&M, you have my blessing. I approve.
So let's go ahead and talk about maybe some replacement guys, right? A&M is one of the top jobs in the country. They obviously don't have the historical tradition of winning, but they have literally every single possible resource that you can possibly have in a program. They have all the money. They have all the facilities. They are in the middle of Texas and Houston. So they have all the players around them right next to Louisiana. And then you have the great state of Texas that is full of players. They're a big brand. And so it's going to attract a lot of people. And a lot of people are talking. Obviously, Dan Lanning was one of the individuals that was brought up. He did kind of do a pretty hard denial on his press conference of not leaving Oregon, but we also have heard that before, haven't we, Mason? I will not be the next head coach at Alabama. So obviously that really means nothing. Let's go ahead and pull up some of the other odds for maybe Texas A&M as I pull it up here somewhere. I had it pulled up here. Unbelievable. So unprofessional of me to not actually have this saved.
While you're doing that, you talked about the Dan Lanning part of it to where he basically completely shut them down. Did you happen to see what Dabo said?
I did not.
Yeah, I'm trying to find it so bad, but he basically did not shut it down at all, the possibility of going there. But he also, I mean, obviously he's not gonna be like, yeah, I would love to do that, blah blah blah, but he did it. He weirdly did not shut it down.
A non-denial denial.
Yeah.
So here is from the 13th, so yesterday, the odds on favor for the A&M job was actually Lane Kiffin, 5-1. Next was Dan Lanning at 6-1, and then a tie for third with Mike Elko and Mike Norvell, both at 7-1 in the odds. Next, you got Jeff Traylor. He is the guy at UTSA, I think, is where he's at. Kellen DeBoer, which is the guy over at Washington. Both of those two are 10-1. James Franklin at 12-1. Chris Kleinman at 14-1, along with Dan Campbell. Dan Quinn at 14-1. Cliff Kingsbury at 14-1. Deion Sanders, 20-1.
Wow. Don't do it, Deion, please.
Urban Meyer, 20-1. Jimbo Fisher, 50-1. I don't know. These are obviously just like some of these odds are obviously like dart throws. Okay, who's a like well-known head coach? Let's put them on there. What are the odds? Yeah. Not good. So just put them on there anyways, though, because some idiot's going to put money on it. But
the Dan Campbell one is pretty funny. But because he did play at Texas A&M. So like, sure, throw odds on it. But that would never happen.
He's not leaving the Lions, bro. All right,
so I found this quote real quick before I give you my thoughts. So somebody asked Dabo if he had any interest in the Texas A&M opening. And he said, I'm just focused on this job. Always have been. Just trying to beat North Carolina. It must be November. That's all I can say.
Non-denial.
Yeah. And you remember, it was what? Last year when he had the weird stuff with Auburn going on too, right?
I briefly remember that, yes.
It was something weird. But, yeah. Anyways,
if you're A&M, do you even want Dabo?
Dude, I don't know. Here's the thing. A&M's going to go big fish hunting, or big fish fishing, whatever you want to say.
Big game hunting.
Game hunting. Yeah. There we go. Texas A&M's going to go big game hunting because that's just in their blood. You know those Texans out there, that gas money, they think that they have everything in front of them. So they're going to go after somebody big. It would not surprise me if they gave him a call. I don't necessarily know if he would be the guy I would go after. Obviously, I'm very, very fond of Dan Lanning. He would be my first call. He's already said that's not happening. But going from there, man, dude, I don't know. If
I I kind of thought that there might have been more buzz with Urban Meyer, man, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Like, why is Urban Meyer not maybe at the top of your list? Like, is he too old? Like, I don't think so, man. Like, he, like, and maybe it's just at the point he's like, hey, I've done everything.
Yeah.
I'm done with the stress. I don't want to do it anymore type thing. And maybe that's why. But, dude, you're freaking Texas A&M. You're paying Jimbo Fisher $76 million to go away. Like, money isn't an issue. And if they really want them, there's a way to get them. But Urban Meyer, to me, would probably be, like, if it were me, I'd call Urban Meyer first and make him tell me no. Next after that, I'd go probably Dan Lanning. After that, man, then you're kind of getting into, okay, who's your next guy? Is it Lane Kiffin? How do you feel about Lane Kiffin? Jeff Traylor isn't a bad guy. I mean, I think a lot of people, especially in the early in the year when it came to Duke with Mike Elko, were super high on him and saying he's the next guy, like next, you know, coach to get a big time job. And part of me, like, okay, I kind of understand that. But then part of me is too, it's like, okay, yeah, like Duke is super impressive, but they're also about to be like, they're like 6-4 or 6-5 or something right now. So like all the hype was because they beat Clemson and they still end up not being that great. So like, I think it's kind of cooled off at least for me a little bit on Mike Elko, but I would totally understand him maybe going to A&M because he did coach there before getting the Duke job. I think honestly, and this is not a sexy hire whatsoever, but Chris Kleinman from Kansas State, I think would be great.
Yeah.
The only issue with that and the only hesitancy I might have would be, is he kind of be like a Dan Mullen kind of type, since he's been coaching at a good school? The only difference is that Chris Kleinman had also won big at North Dakota State before going to Kansas State. I don't think it would happen, but I don't think it's the worst hire in the world if you maybe go there. But they would only go there if they strike out after some of the big names, obviously, because he's definitely not going to be top of the list. But I don't think it would be a bad hire.
So just kind of thinking about it, honestly, like I think they're going to struggle to get a big name. Like, I think Lane honestly might be their best shot, but at the same time, you've seen it already kind of with Lane. Like, the book is kind of out on him right now, especially after what you kind of just saw against Georgia. So I don't know if that's necessarily a direction that you want to go. I don't necessarily think you're obviously you're not getting Dan Lanning. I don't really think that Mike Norvell would pack it up at Florida State and go to Texas.
I totally would see it. And I think it's the same reason that Jimbo left.
Huh. I didn't even think about that connection. I don't know.
I mean, there's that connection, but like when it comes to Florida State, like, is Florida State willing to pay up?
Yeah,
that's a good upgrading point. Like, that's why Jimbo left. Now, obviously, he was already on the downturn at Florida State. Things weren't going well, which is why he got out before it absolutely crumbled. But, like, it was still an issue of, hey, they weren't willing to pay top dollar for assistance, which is why he was losing assistance, and they weren't upgrading facilities and weren't competing in that way with a lot of the big dogs. And so I would absolutely see Mike Norvell leaving. I don't think that's a bad hire either. I am not even like, dude, it's freaking the 14th of November. There's no way that Dan Lanning is completely off the table. I don't care what he says at his press conference.
Dude,
I really don't. I don't know if they'll get him, but I'm not just going to sit here saying, oh, he's off the table until a hire is actually made. Because, again, there have been plenty of where he can wait for the Bama job all he wants. Listen. That Texas A&M job is just as good, if not better than the Bama job. The only thing Bama has better than A&M is that they have the historical success. A&M has everything better. They have better facilities. They have more money. They are in a more talent-rich state than Alabama. And prove me wrong.
Okay, you can claim two of those, but how dare you say they have better facilities? No, that's not even close.
What do you mean that's not even close?
Have you seen Alabama's facilities? They're insane.
Have you seen Texas A&M's facilities?
Yes, they're average at best. Look, you can get it with the money and where they're located, but I will not let you sit here and claim that they have better facilities. Absolutely not. But look, we know what Dan Lanning's waiting on. Okay, so can we just stop talking about him right now? Just keep his name quiet.
You're just over here hopeful that that's what happens. Yes, I'm just telling you the honesty here is that he is not off the table because, again, Texas A&M, oh, hey, you want $200 million guaranteed? We'll do it. And you know they would, too.
Yeah.
They just paid an outrageous buyout. They would make another one for him. And you know they would, so.
But so I think kind of the problem that they're going to run into is, like, you're basically going to have to take a shot on a coach at this point. Like you were saying.
They're not taking a shot on anybody. They're going for a proven guy, for sure.
But the thing is like, what are your expectations for a proven guy? So, like,
that's kind of where we were. If I'm talking proven guys, it's going to be Dan Lanning. It's going to be Mike Norvell. If you want to say proven, I mean, Lane Kiffin is proven at Ole Miss. At Ole Miss. He's playing and coaching with one hand tied behind his back when it comes to talent. Fair. Ole Miss there. Depending on what you want to say about Mike Elko at Duke and what he's been able to do at Duke, you can maybe put him in there. Well, so Dabo's not out of the question.
I would put those Elko five. In a different
the
category.
Worst, the worst. I mean, yeah, he out of those five that I just named, he would be the one that I would take off and maybe put in a different category.
Yeah.
But I think those four, at least Dabo, Norvell, Lanning, Kiffin, would be the four that they go after for sure.
See, I don't think any of those would surprise me either way. Like, it would not surprise me if none of them took it, and it wouldn't surprise me if any single one of them took it. You know what I mean? But my point with Elko is, like, I feel like he's more of – in the Leopold, Kleiman, Elko, like that type of coaching group where it's like you really are more taking a shot on that coach. Like, yes, those three guys are kind of proven, but at the same time, it's like you've been coaching at Kansas State, Duke. You've had success there, but at the same time, it's like how does your success at that smaller, at the quote unquote smaller schools translate to what it's going to be like at Texas A&M? You know what I mean? So that's kind of more.
Well, yeah, once you get to that group, when you get to that group, that's because they struck out on the big names.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you get to that point, obviously there's going to be freaking out that we will both love and eat up the A&M side. You know, when some of these hires, man, talk about USC with Lincoln Riley, obviously LSU with Brian Kelly, what is one name that we're just not talking about that could happen? What's the one? Could it be Dan Campbell? I mean, I don't think he's leaving the freaking Lions.
He's
not leaving the Lions, but
they're in the Super Bowl right now. He ain't leaving the Lions.
The only one that I can maybe, at least that's on the betting list that I'm seeing here is, I mean, I don't know, maybe... I mean, the only thing that makes sense to me is Urban.
I was about to say, it really just might be as simple as it's probably going to be Urban.
I mean, how do you feel about Dan Quinn? Would he even come to college? I don't know.
No. Because I bet he ends up with another head coaching job in the NFL. He's not coming.
I mean, how do you feel about – where do you put Kellen DeBoer in your tiers?
So that was another one I wanted to bring up. That one is very interesting to me. I think he would be closer to the top of my list if I was Texas A&M, but – do you think he would really
for those that don't know who that is, just for whatever reason, if you don't know who that is, he's the head coach at Washington right now.
Yes. Do you really think he would leave Washington?
Oh, absolutely he would.
Even with them going to the Big Ten?
Yes. Washington can't compete, man.
Yeah. I guess I mean, Washington, I'm just in a weird position right now thinking about it because it's like it's just really hard to rank Texas A&M right now on where they would be in a greater scale against other teams. Because, yes, they have everything in front of them. But at the same time, like you've seen coach after coach after coach not really have as much success as the general public would assume that they would have. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I mean, like, there's obviously the stigma that Yeah, I mean, there's the, obviously the stigma that you're fighting here. More so, I think this is more of a stigma in the fan perspective, more so when it comes to coaches and agents, when it comes to the job of, hey, A&M just has never won. They seem to have all the talent, they just can't put it together. And part of that is because, like, they just haven't hired the right guy yet. And all it takes is one hire. Now, here's the thing when it comes to coaching hires, right, is that it's so freaking hard to find the right guy.
Yes,
and 90% of the time, you don't. So then you're right back in this thing 5, 3, 4, 6, 8 years later, still haven't figured it out. And you're down this road again. So obviously, it's a big time hire now because you're really set up for success. And you need to make a decision soon because you have all these guys from that best recruiting class ever that happened a couple years ago that everybody in the country is going to try and pick them off those rosters for the transfer portal. You're also going to have to try and keep the current recruiting class together. Like these are all these things that, hey, if you actually keep everything together, you have a great and loaded roster. You just need better coaching. Obviously, Jimbo has on his way down when he was at A&M because he was already on his way down at Florida State. So who's the up and comer that's going to be able to sustain success? Is there a Kirby Smart in the market right now? I don't know. Maybe there is. Maybe it's Kellen DeBoer. Maybe it's Mike Norvell, who has completely rebuilt Florida State. Maybe it is Mike Elko. I don't know. What about, we're going to really find out.
What about Georgia's D coordinator?
I don't even know his name, bro.
It's like Greg Schwarman or something like that. I can't remember his name.
I mean, I don't think there's any shot they go with D coordinator for a hire for some head coach. But the only reason Kirby got the Georgia job is because he was at Bama forever and he's a Georgia grad.
I think the Georgia D coordinator would be better for Mississippi State now that I think about it.
And we'll talk about Mississippi State here in just a minute. But
if it's me, I think just putting it, ranking it realistically to what I think could, what I would do if I was Texas A&M, I would probably go Mike Norvell, Kalen DeBoer, Lane Kiffin in that order. And then probably I would go Elko after that. But also that's because I don't think Dan Lanning is realistic. If you want to say he's realistic, I would put him at
the top. He's absolutely realistic. I don't care what he says.
I think he is.
He absolutely is. You're only saying that because your little Homer glasses here in the background, hoping he stays around and waits till Nick Saban retires.
I'm not denying that, all right?
He absolutely is on the table. Listen, here's what I'll say. Dan Lanning is obviously the hot name because Oregon's really good. Part of that is because they have Bo Nix. He's in his second year ever being a head coach. There's still a lot out there that's, I don't know yet, you know? It's still listen, I'm not denying he's a great coach. I'm not saying he is a bad coach, obviously. Like, I'm not trying to say that. But what I am saying is, hey, man, he's still, like, it's not like Mario Cristobal left the cover bare at Oregon. You know? So it's not like he did, like, a major rebuild. He got into a really good situation, good for him, brought in Bo Nix. Bo Nix has actually played well and above his potential, or really right at his potential when he came out of high school. So good for him. There's not that, you don't have that track record of program building and success that a Mike Norvell has, or even really the track record that Lane Kiffin has. He's had maybe a little bit more success than Kiffin, but he's also still not won a conference championship. Maybe that changes this year. Same thing at Lane Kiffin Ole Miss. I mean, I don't know. I think obviously if you have a chance to get Dan Lanning, I think you'd probably take it, but I also wouldn't be surprised if he is, I don't want to say Tom Herman, but like maybe the book is still kind of out and not fully sold on him being the next Kirby Smart. Just a little bit of a warning. Just out there. Just putting it out there.
Look, that's all right. I just need to give him 2 more years to marinate and we'll be good.
Yeah. All right. let's move on. I mean, obviously, again, like you said, it's a weird thing. The only time in history that I can remember that maybe both head coaches of the same game got fired after the game ended was maybe that one year that the year that Les Miles got fired whenever they played Auburn, because it was Miles and the Gus Bus. And it seemed to, at least to fans, as the battle of whoever loses the head coach gets fired. Bowl. And so that was the only time in history that maybe most coaches that I could remember might get fired after the game, because it was also a super ugly game. But this one was an ugly game really on one side. And, you know, Texas A&M still fired their coach after blowing the doors off. But Mississippi State is open now. Which I think almost everybody was really expecting to happen. And if you weren't, I'm kind of surprised that you didn't, because new AD wants to get his guy. Arnett was just a backstop after the tragedy of Mike Leach. So Mississippi State is open. How do you feel about State being open? What are your thoughts? Obviously, it's not A&M. Yeah. So
I really feel for Arnett, if we're being honest, because that is such a sucky situation to be put into, because, like, obviously, like you said, you have the terrible tragedy that happened with Coach Leach, and then, like, basically get flung into the job, and you kind of have to change everything up on the fly, but you're doing a complete 180 from what the offense was to what you want to run. So it's just, like, it's a really tough situation. I feel for him, but at the same time, I know he's a great defensive coordinator, and he's going to bounce back pretty quickly. Maybe for you.
I think he goes USC, man. He's a West Coast guy.
Well, you are going to be in the market for a defensive coordinator, Cameron.
And we I think you would be better. I don't want Arnett.
Oh, okay. Well, cool. Anyways. But yeah, so Texas A&M compared to Mississippi State is vastly different. I feel like Mississippi State and Ole Miss, the two Mississippi schools, are in a really weird situation, because I don't necessarily feel like you're going to those schools expecting to compete year in and year out. But you're also not really a stopgap school. Like, I don't think that most programs aren't sitting there like, who's Mississippi State's head coach? Can we go grab him next year after our coach leaves? Like, blah, blah, blah. You're not really going to be in that position. So, like, you have to make the most out of what you're given at Mississippi State, which is why Mullen succeeded very well. So I also think that's really funny that his name is floating around a little bit for Mississippi State. But it'll be a lot different of a coaching search than it is at Texas A&M.
So what do you think about Dan Mullen maybe going back home?
I don't hate it, because he was very fun at Mississippi State. My favorite thing about that is that they were the first number one ranked team in the college football playoff rankings ever, which is just a great fun fact.
That's definitely an Aflac question, like, every year.
Oh, yeah. But I don't hate it. I also don't necessarily think he's going to leave his cushy job that he's got with SEC Network right now. So I would be surprised if he did. Also wouldn't hate it for them.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a weird thing. What do you think about Lance Leopold or Leopold?
To me, that is the A1 coach that I'm going after right now, if I'm him. Like, I feel like he's a realistic option. At the same time, he is one of the hotter names, but he's not too hot to where it's like, Mississippi State, what are you talking about? You're never getting that guy. So I think he's a good realistic option for him, and he's been succeeding at Kansas, which is historically a very bad program. And for him to have the same type of success that he's had there, and I think he'll be able to translate it to a school like Mississippi State. So if I'm them, that's my guy that I'm going after.
Who's next on your list?
Great question. Because it gets a little thin, if we're being honest. I think you could
Jamie Chadwell?
Maybe. I think I would go more after Rhett Lashley, SMU's coach. Jeff Lebby, maybe. Because he was a very good offense coordinator for Lane at Ole Miss. He's doing a great job at Oklahoma this year. I don't think that would be a terrible direction to go, because you had success with Leach as an offensive-minded system. So I think that would be those are two directions right there that I would probably like to go. I think I would go Leopold, Lashley, Lebby.
Okay. Interesting. All right. Yeah, it's definitely an interesting spot, right? So Mississippi State obviously can be used as a springboard job, but I don't think it hasn't really historically been that. And the only time that it's really been that was Dan Mullen after being there forever going to Florida. But yeah, I mean, it's just one of those places where, hey, just be competitive, have a good year here, there, and the fans are typically happy. But obviously that hasn't happened under Zach Ornette because they are awful. I think Jamie Chadwell is a really interesting one, running basically the triple option out of spread. I think would be kind of fun to see in the SEC under Mississippi State. I think that'd be really fun. I don't know how realistic that is. He's over at Liberty now. Obviously you brought up the Georgia defensive coordinator. I mean, maybe that makes sense of him jumping up and taking that spot at State. Though I think for him, if you're thinking maybe kind of career output, is State really kind of like what I said and what you said to open up with, is State, do you really see State as a springboard to somewhere else? Or do you want to go to State to be there forever? You know, that's kind of the question you need to ask yourself.
Well, that was kind of the weird thing, though. Like with Dan Mullen, he was able to get the Florida job out of it. But at the same time, like that was a perfect situation for him because he was offensive coordinator at Florida before that under Urban Meyer. So it's like he had those Florida connections. And so he was able to kind of build that and get the Florida job. And then you take it the very next coach with Mike Leach, like from watching him and hearing him talk, I felt like he thought that was his end game. Like he was going to be at Mississippi State and retire there. So like, it's just,
what do you think about Gus Bus?
I wouldn't do it. I love Gus so much. He's so much fun. But I think UCF is a perfect spot for him. I wouldn't do that if I was Mississippi State.
Some other lists that I see. I see Jeff Traylor on here, again, the guy that's at UTSA. I think the only kind of job that he leaves for is a Texas job. I don't think he leaves the state of Texas.
Yeah.
Barry Odom. I don't think he's, yeah. I mean, he failed at Missouri. I don't think you'd do any better at Mississippi State. Tom Herman, maybe. Still not super.
It's going to be a weird coaching search. You know what I mean? Because I think you're going to be looking at a bunch of coaches that are at smaller schools right now or offensive coordinators. Like, I could see, what's Tulane's coach's name? Willie Fritz.
Willie Fritz,
like
yep.
Like, I could see something like that happening. But it's not going to be a splashy name. Like, it's going to be a head scratcher. Like, where is this guy at? Oh, Tulane. Okay, cool. Work with it.
Well, I think the thing that they have had success with is getting guys that have unique offenses, you know? So, I mean, you had obviously Dan Mullen with his offense being kind of unique and spread you out. Then you have Mike Leach, obviously, with the air raid. So that kind of in the coaching search now, to me, that leads you with a few options. So that's Jamie Chadwell. That's Lance Leopold. Maybe that's Gus Bus. I think that's kind of probably at the bottom of your list, if I'm being honest. Jeff Lebby would be the other one on that list. Rhett Lashley, obviously, at SMU. So I think those are going to be your ones. So again, Jamie Chadwell, Rhett Lashley, Lance Leopold, and Jeff Lebby, I think, is your options. And then maybe Gus Bus at the end. I think it would be hilarious, though. And I think also it would be kind of maybe a little heartwarming if Dan Mullen ends up going back to State. I think that'd be pretty hilarious, honestly. I don't think it happens because I think Dan Mullen is perfectly happy collecting a check and not having to recruit. So I think he's done. But
I do think if they get Leopold, it is a big win for them. I think that would be a really good hire for them. But at the same time, is he willing to make that move? Like, does he feel like he can get a bigger job down the road if he just waits it out another year or two?
For sure. So those are the two main jobs that opened up. Before that, we had Michigan State open up earlier in the year. And then Northwestern has been open basically since the offseason crap that happened with Pat Fitzgerald. But some jobs to watch out for that might open up soon. Arkansas, there's been a lot of rumblings about Sam Pittman, especially with their profitable what did I just say? Pitiful performance against Auburn at home. Seats hot. We'll see what happens in the next couple weeks with Pittman. And then also one that kind of shocked me that I saw today that's kind of breaking out is Chip Kelly possibly getting fired after the USC game at UCLA. It's been trending, man. So be on the lookout for that. That one's a little shocking. Chip Kelly possibly out at UCLA before the season's over. I mean, they're 6-4 right now. Not been great. The offense hasn't been good. But, I mean, you're also UCLA, so I don't really know what else you really expect going to the Big Ten. So, yeah, I mean, thoughts on those two? I mean, you think Pittman's going to get fired?
Yes. 'Cause
are we sad about that?
I'm kind of indifferent about it. I don't really care about Sam Pittman all that much, if we're being honest. But I don't remember who they have left. I know they have a cupcake game, and then they have one
Missouri
stronger. Missouri. So, yeah, you're going to lose that game. So, hey, what's weird is I feel like Sam Pittman fits Arkansas perfectly, but at the same time, you have a season like this, man. You can't really bounce back from that. So it would not surprise me if he got fired. Chip Kelly, I would be shocked if he got fired. And I think he would probably bounce back pretty quickly.
All right, so that's coaching carousel. We spent a lot of time on that, and we need to very quickly go over the down to the wire poll, Mason, before we get into picks. So I'm going to go really quickly, and then we're going to give some quick thoughts and then move on. So number one in our ranking is the Georgia Bulldogs. They stay at one. Really, our top eight stay the same. So Georgia, Michigan, Ohio State, Florida State, Washington, Oregon, Texas, and Bama, your top eight. And then there were a lot of losses, a lot of shakeup after that. So at ninth, we have the Louisville Cardinal, which feels really weird to me that they're at ninth after they struggled against Virginia this past week, but they're there. We have a tie at 10th place between Missouri and Oregon State. Ole Miss falls down to number 12 and Penn State at 13. Oklahoma is up to 14, followed by LSU and Tulane. Utah, Arizona, Notre Dame, and Tennessee round out the top 20. Then we have a tie at 21, Mason. James Madison and North Carolina at 21. Iowa, your beloved Hawkeyes, at 23. And then followed up with two Big 12 teams with Kansas State and Oklahoma State, which is freaking gross because Oklahoma State beat Kansas State this year. But you know what? Whatever. Thoughts on the poll? This week, Mason, we're at least with the top eight, we're basically carbon copies of the playoff rankings. So,
Cam, I hate this so much. Okay. I hate it. 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 I tried desperately to find a way to get Alabama ranked up higher in my poll. I was trying to convince myself of everything in the book, and I just couldn't do it. And what's pissing me off about it right now is freaking Texas, dude. Texas has been playing like absolute dog water for the past like 4 weeks. And I just cannot convince myself to rank them above or rank Alabama above them just because of the stupid head-to-head loss. Alabama's playing like one of the best three teams in the nation right now. But I cannot get them above eight. I had a point where I was like, you know what? Why don't I just put Oregon at eight and I'll rank Texas at six, Alabama at seven. That'll bump them up a little bit. But then I was like, am I an idiot? Texas isn't playing anywhere near better than Oregon is. And then I was like, but at the same time, what do I do? This whole thing is pissing me off because Alabama's playing like a top three team, but I can't move them any higher because I'm not moving Texas any higher. If anything, I feel like I could move Texas down, but I can't rank Alabama ahead of them because they have the head-to-head. So I'm in a pickle right now, and I hate it. Okay.
This is really entertaining. I love this, actually.
It's stupid, okay? It's so dumb to sit here and watch Alabama murder Kentucky just for freaking Texas to come back and almost lose to, what, stupid TCU. It's just stupid, okay? It's so dumb. All right,
hypothetical matchup, Mason. TCU or Kentucky?
Kentucky. TCU was terrible. TCU was
Kentucky is terrible.
They're not that bad. They're not as bad as Kentucky is. Kentucky would hang 40 on TCU.
How would you feel a Kentucky would Kentucky losing to South Carolina change your opinion this week? Okay.
No.
Just wondering.
No. because Alabama still has the three wins against Tennessee, Ole Miss, LSU. And that's another thing. Stupid Florida State. Florida State has Florida State's best win of the season right now is LSU, which you could argue is probably Alabama's what? Second, maybe third best win of the season. But no, I can't rank them above I can't rank Alabama above them because they're undefeated. Ah, Cam, this is terrible.
Second or third? I take offense to that, Mason. How dare you?
Okay, if you just go by the rankings, then they're the second best win.
You're picking LSU over Tennessee. And if we played Ole Miss again, we'd beat Ole Miss. So I'm just saying.
Are you sure about that?
Listen, yeah, I'm very sure, actually. You know, listening to your melt was actually A+, Mason. I have to applaud you. That was great.
Appreciate it.
I felt it here in the heart, the internal struggle that you have. And I really hope it continues. I hope all these teams went out. So you are going down to the wire, just like losing your mind of possibly watching Alabama just be left out of the playoff because they lost. I think it'd be really funny.
Okay. I've convinced myself that all I need is Oregon to win the Pac-12. And then we'll get in. Because
that's all you need.
Yeah, that's all I need. Which it's a little scary, you know? Assuming that right. Texas wins out also because stupid Texas.
All right, let's move on. Let's move on. I know you want to stay on your soapbox, but we need to get this over with, Mason. Okay. Let's go on to picks. Okay. Last week, Mason, we both tied. We're still tied for the season. We both went 6-3, killing it, right? If I was smart and picked Georgia like I should have, then you know it would have been better. But you know what? It is what it is. Okay, we're both 6-3. I gotta do shout out to Utah with the cover after Washington failed at a field goal or had it blocked. That's what saved me this week, Mason. And you continue to just not understand Utah when picking the spread against Utah, which I think is just great. A+.
That one drove me up a wall. There was one more too, wasn't there? No, that was it. I was thinking about Tennessee, Missouri, where I picked Tennessee.
Yeah, that was nowhere close. Yeah, that was dumb. So we're still tied up. We're going to move on, Mason. Not a ton of games this week, as we kind of mentioned. I have a little bit of a small slate here, but we'll get through it. Your Colorado Buffaloes, the Fighting Deons, have been on a losing streak, Mason. They are down to their last chance to get bowl eligible. They have to win this Friday against Washington State in Pullman. Washington State is a 4.5-point favorite. Can the Fighting Deons get back in the win column, or do we just bury them for good, like the rest of the country seems to have done, and go with the Cougars?
Look, they've been struggling. Okay, I cannot deny that. They haven't looked great, but you got to give Deon credit because this is a big improvement over what it is last year. They're looking to get bowl eligible. I'm going to ride with the Buffs. I think they're going to be able to move the ball on Washington State. Washington State can be a little shaky sometimes on offense. I think it's going to be a high-flying, high-scoring game. So give me Colorado.
I'm going to go with the Buffaloes too. I think they win, and I think they get an interesting matchup next week to fight for bowl eligibility. And for the reasons you said, I think they'll be able to score, even though it's probably going to be cold, but who cares? They're going to score. And I think they'll be able to get enough stops. So I'm going to go with Deon and Colorado getting the W against Washington State. Next, we have another Pac-12 matchup, Utah at Arizona, Mason. I just love putting these Utah games on here for you. I'm just going to pick opposite of whatever you pick.
It's an automatic win for you. Okay. It's completely unfair.
And this one's basically a pick 'em, Mason. I guess a surging Arizona team. So Utah at Arizona. Arizona is the 1-point favorite. Who you got?
This is an automatic win for you. Okay. So I'm just going to say Utah. Why not? I'll rock with them. I feel like I pick against them every time. So maybe I'll just flip it.
You know, I applaud you for trying to get back on the right side with Utah, but I think Arizona is going to win this one. I'm going with Arizona with the dub here against Utah. Next, this could have been a really good game as we were looking at it preseason, Mason, and it just isn't anymore. Georgia at Tennessee. I was kind of expecting the spread, honestly, to be a little bit higher for Georgia. It's only at minus 10. So Georgia is a 10-point favorite on the road in Knoxville. Will Tennessee, after having a pitiful performance against Missouri, just come out and just rip, just let it rip at home and have some maybe weird juju and some craziness happen? Or is Georgia just going to continue to roll?
Oh, yes. I'm taking Georgia 100%. I think that Georgia is going to put the nail in the coffin and officially bury Tennessee for the year. I think they just come out and absolutely dog walk them, if we're being honest with each other. And I think Neyland's going to be cleared out by the third quarter.
Yeah. You know, Mason, like I've been saying this year, I have had one pick on a Georgia game spread that I've been right. And so this is probably going to make you a little nervous. I'm picking Georgia as well to cover the 10. And this is where I'm trying to maybe get my curse going. Okay. We're trying it out on Georgia this week against Tennessee. I'm going Georgia. Listen, they have looked really good, and they look one of the best teams in the country. So I do think that they do cover the 10. I think Tennessee's defense is just out of gas, and their offense can't score. So I'm going Georgia. But we'll see if the curse is still alive and well, Mason. North Carolina at Clemson. This is an interesting spread to me. Clemson at home is a 6.5-point favorite against North Carolina. Now, North Carolina has been playing as well. They barely beat Duke last week at home. They've lost a couple of games, but Clemson also isn't that good. So 6.5 to me is a lot of points. How do we feel about Clemson, North Carolina?
I think the thing about it is North Carolina's defense is hot garbage. So they'll definitely keep Clemson in the game. With that being said, North Carolina still has Drake May, and 6.5 against a Clemson team that's not really that good is a little questionable. So give me North Carolina.
Yeah, I'm going to go with North Carolina too. I think that Vegas and individuals, since the Notre Dame game, which you did mention in a nice rant last week, which I very much enjoyed, just kind of maybe has some false hope about Clemson that maybe they're back after a big win against Notre Dame. I'm going to go with North Carolina too with Drake May. I think they'll be able to score. And, you know, obviously they don't have a great defense, but Clemson doesn't have a great offense. So I'm gonna go North Carolina as well to cover and actually win outright against Clemson. Battle for LA, UCLA at USC. I don't know what it is today. I apparently can't talk. USC is a 6.5-point favorite at home. UCLA has a good defense, but not really an offense. And it's flipped for USC. They don't really have a defense whatsoever, but they have a really good offense. So battles of two different styles here, Mason. Who do you like?
Yeah, USC's got to get off this slide at some point. Their offense is just too good to continue to lose these type of games. 6.5 is a little scary, but I'm still going to go with USC.
Yeah, I'm going to go with USC as well, especially with the rumors floating around about Chip Kelly possibly being fired after the game. I think that's a huge distraction. And UCLA just isn't, I don't think, going to be able to have the firepower to keep up with USC. So I'm going with the Trojans. We've had a lot of Pac-12 games, Mason, and this is the game of the week. Washington going on the road to Corvallis against Oregon State. And Oregon State is actually a home favorite in this one by 2.5. Oregon State 2.5 in this one against Washington. This is the spot I think a lot of people are picking the Huskies to end up losing and tripping up. Do you like the Beavers here, or do you like Washington Huskies to maybe put it together and have a really impressive win on the road?
Huh, Cam, that's a great question. So this is definitely the best game of the week. Oregon State's been playing well. DJ's been doing his thing. So they're a tough team to beat. I'm not going to sit here and act like I know how good their home crowd is because, shockingly, I haven't watched much of Oregon State football. But after seeing how Washington performed in their big game against Oregon, I have to think that they're going to come out and put on another show like they did in that game. Their wide receiver room and their quarterback are just too good. So I'm going to be rocking with Washington in this game.
That's a good pick. I really like Washington too. I mean, they have obviously been hearing everything of, oh, they're not as good, Oregon's better, all this kind of stuff. And this is going to be the game to shut people up. And I actually really like them to do it. Oregon State's a really good team. They have a good defense. Their home field is pretty good. DJ's been playing well. But I think Washington just has a little too much firepower and they'll be able to get enough stops. So I'm going to go with Washington as well with the big win and shut some people up, I think, about Washington, including, you know, this guy across from me. Maybe you'll feel a little bit better about them after this week.
Last game that, all year, Cam. Don't bring that.
And now you're hating on him, man. What do you mean?
Hating? I just want them to play a little bit better. I have high expectations for them, and they're not meeting them at the moment. Okay? I fell in love with them after like week four. So get your crap out of here.
Last game of the weekend, Mason. Kentucky at South Carolina. Kentucky's a 2-point favorite. Battle of disappointment. It's a disappointment bowl in the SEC this week.
I have no insight for you on this game at all, but I will never trust picking Spencer Rattler in a game, so I'm going to go with Kentucky.
Dude, it's Spencer Rattler at home. He's different. He's built different at home, bro. Okay. It's going to be a high scoring game, and South Carolina is going to win. And Kentucky is absolute trash. Okay. They are horrible. Devin Leary can half the time barely hit the broadside of a barn. Okay. Let's just be honest here. So I'm going to South Carolina. Go Gamecocks. Let's go.
Terrible.
And that's it. Ugh. Whatever, get out of here, Mason. I don't need your hate. Okay,
no, it's just obviously a gross game to pick. Okay, I don't love it.
Listen, I think I'm gonna force you to watch this game. You must watch this game on Saturday.
What time is it? I think it's the late game in the SEC. Saturday, so well, I might be a little
shaky. Yeah, you have to watch the Kentucky South Carolina game on Saturday. That's what you have to do. Thank you. I appreciate it.
If I'm home and have the ability to watch it, I will tune in.
Why wouldn't you be home?
I have something going on. Okay. I can't talk about it. It's a secret.
What time is that game? I'm going to look for you just so you know. Just so you know, the South Carolina Kentucky game is at 6:30 on the SEC network.
Interesting. Sounds doable.
So I look forward to you texting me throughout the game on your thoughts on watching it, okay?
Every time Ray Davis scores, I will send you a text, okay?
There might be a lot, actually, so I'm for it. All right, everybody, thank you so much for listening. Don't forget, video podcast on Rumble. It does post a little bit later than the audio, but it does get posted. So be on the lookout on Rumble for us there. Follow us on all the socials. Send us an email for your top 25 to be included in the rankings. And we will catch you guys next week.